Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 12, Verse 21. Vritrasura's glorious death. And the verse goes like this. We can chant together. Kalvidam Mahadascharyam. Yat Raja Prakritestava. Vasudeve Bhagavati Satvatmani Dridhamati. Okay. Kalu. Indeed. Idam. This. Mahadascharyam. Great wonder. Yat, which Raja, influenced by the mode of passion. Prakriti, whose nature. Tava, of you. Vasudeve, in Lord Krishna. Bhagavati, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sattva Atmani, who is situated in pure goodness. Dridha, firm. Mati, consciousness. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, O Vritrasura, demons are generally conducted by the mode of passion. Therefore, what a great wonder it is that although you are a demon, you have adopted the mentality of a devotee and have fixed your mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, who is always situated in pure goodness. Purport. King Indra wondered how Vritrasura could have been elevated to the position of an exalted devotee. As for Prahlad Maharaj, he was initiated by Narada Muni, and therefore it was possible for him to become a great devotee, although he was born in a family of demons. For Vritrasura, however, Indra could not detect such causes. Therefore, he was struck with wonder that Vritrasura was such an exalted devotee that he could fix his mind without deviation upon the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, Vasudeva. So ends Srila Prabhupada's purport. Kalvidam Mahadascharyam Yat Raja Prakritestava Vasudeve Bhagavati Satvatmani Dridha Mati. O Vritrasura, demons are generally conducted by the mode of passion. Therefore, what a great wonder it is that although you are a demon, you have adopted the mentality of a devotee and have fixed your mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, who is always situated in pure goodness. Indra is surprised. Have you ever been surprised by something? What happens when we are surprised by something or someone? What's the feeling we have? Huh? Amazement? Okay. Maybe that's another word for surprise. Depends on the surprise, huh? A negative surprise. Yeah. Surprise. So, okay, we might say there's good surprises and bad surprises. Let's see. Good surprises, we all like good surprises. Bad surprises, we don't like bad surprises. But what can we say in general about surprises? They're unexpected, which means something else is expected, isn't it? Expectation, wondering why, so looking for causes. Okay, and you were saying? Shock. There can be shock. What is shock? Shock is a feeling like, I don't know how to react. Yes. Okay, yeah, going back to the issue of cause, looking for new explanation. Going back to expectation. So one thing we might think about is how surprise is caused by something which we don't expect. So that means we are expecting something. Huh? Projecting? Prejudice. Ah, yes, okay, prejudice is another word. Okay, that's getting into a sort of specific kind of expectation, prejudice. But just broadly, we can think about expectation in terms of, you know, expectation. We expect something to happen in the future in a certain way. Day before yesterday, I heard that Bhaktivedya Purna Swami and Chandramouli Swami were in Zagreb, and they were inviting me to come to Zagreb for a program. And I said, I have another idea. Why don't you come for lunch to Povishya? And I didn't entirely expect they would say yes, but they said yes, okay. So that was one surprise. But then the other surprise, because we wanted to have an early lunch, because I actually wanted to come in time for the snan of Snan Yatra yesterday. But as it happened, they were delayed. Maybe I shouldn't explain why they were delayed, but it's kind of a harmless mistake. But Chandramouli Swami he forgot to bring his passport to the border. So someone had to get his passport, and you know. Anyway, so 2 hours later, they came. So I had this expectation, they're going to come at 12, but surprise! And it wasn't, you know, it was kind of a disappointment, but then, okay, Hare Krishna, it's not a serious, serious problem. Another kind of expectation can be with regard to behavior or character of persons. And this is where we can get ourselves in trouble easily, because this is where we might, with expectations, we might experience some disappointment. So we're expecting something, and then the person doesn't act in the way we're expecting. And then what happens? We may jump to conclusions, we may make judgments. And the judgments may not be accurate, first of all. Because we are making a judgment based on our limited experience of that person, based on what we've seen and what we've heard and whatever. And this could be a problem if we make a generalization that's actually not applying. Right? So that can be a negative side of expectation and maybe disappointment. But what we're getting in today's verse is a happy surprise. Lord Indra is, we can say, happily surprised. He's happily surprised, but at the same time, it's a very special sort of situation because what's happening, Vritrasura, who now Indra understands is, we want to say, the more advanced devotee, he's fixed, Dridha Mati, he's fixed on the Lord, Vasudeva, Bhagavata, Bhagavan. But what is this more advanced devotee insisting that he, Indra, do? He's insisting, yes, kill me. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Doesn't usually go like that, does it? In a fight of this sort. And of course, at the same time, Vritra is putting on a valiant fight, despite the fact that he's lost one arm. And that's interesting, I mentioned last time, because Vritra is described in Rig Veda. It seems he's some sort of snake demon. And generally, snakes don't have arms. But okay, in the Bhagavatam, somehow he's grown arms, and now he's losing the arms. And he's lost one arm to Indra, and now he's still fighting. So he is also, in that respect, determined. Dridha means determined. And this is very nice. So Indra must have very tumultuous feelings. Because on the one side, he recognizes that Vritra is a great devotee, and Indra himself, he's a devotee. He wouldn't be Indra if he weren't a devotee. And because he's a devotee, he can appreciate now another devotee. And what is he supposed to do now that he appreciates that he's a devotee? He's supposed to kill him. That's strange. We might be reminded of Arjuna's situation, of course. In the Battle of Kurukshetra, he's being subjected to this situation where Krishna is demanding that he kill his enemies. And we could say Arjuna appreciates that his enemies are not all just demons. After all, there is Bhishma and Drona. They weren't demons as such. They were on the wrong side, but they weren't demons. But here we're getting this situation of opposites, this distinction being made, demons and devotees. Prabhupada, of course, is embellishing, or we can say adding to the translation, because the word demon is not in the verse in the Sanskrit, but he's giving some explanation of Indra's surprise. Indra would not be surprised if everyone knew that Vritra is not Asura, but he is Sura. Vritra, in that case, he would be Vritra Sura instead of Vritra Asura. Vritra Asura. So he appreciates, this is particularly amazing because here's someone who should be thinking, acting, being a demon, but in fact, he is acting and being really a devotee, Vasudeve Bhagavati Satvatmani, Dridhamati. His mati, his consciousness, is dridha, it's fixed, it's absorbed, in Vasudeva, who is Sattva Atmani, whose very self is Sattva. Sattva means, it's translated as goodness, in contrast to Raja, Rajaguna, right? Because normally demons are identified with Rajaguna. So you might say, well then, what is this? We understand the Lord is transcendental. He is completely beyond the modes of nature, and here he's being described as sattva, as sattvic. Yes, sattva, but what sort of sattva? Vishuddha sattva would certainly be the implication. But for the purpose of what's being said in the verse, it's enough to say that he is sattva. He is not Raja, he is Sattva. He is beyond, of course, Sattva can also mean pure. Sat, existent, can also mean wise. Sattva can mean wise. Shishi pancha tattva ki jai. So Indra is surprised, and that's expressed in the first line, Kalu idam mahat ascharyam. You know there's a verse in Bhagavad Gita that this might remind us of. Ascharyavat paschadi kaschadenam. Ascharyavat vadati tataiva chanya. Ascharyavat chaina manya shrinoti. Shudvapyenam vedana chaiva kaschit. Ascharyavat paschati. One may be surprised, amazed, one may wonder, seeing paschati kaschit enam, this. What is this? The soul. Ascharyavat vadati tataiva janya, and another person, cha anya, may speak, vadati, about the wonder of the soul. Ascharyavat cha enam, chainam, ascharyavat vadati tataiva chanya, ascharyavat chainam anya shrinoti, and another person will hear about the soul and be amazed. Shutvap yenam, shutva, having heard, enam, shutvap yenam veda na chaiva kaschit. But someone may not know Veda, na Veda. Someone may not know the soul, literally. So the soul, in other words, the soul is very wonderful. And if we think about this, this is, I think, a help for us to appreciate how to withhold judgment of others. Because, number one, step one in this process, you can say, we understand soul. Everyone, in every living body, there's a soul. Right? That's kind of lesson number one we get. And Krishna is saying that the soul is wonderful. Ascharyavat. So we may not always experience the soul as wonderful. We look at other persons and we may think, this person's not very wonderful. Or this person has done something which is not very wonderful. Or this person has said something which is not very wonderful, in a positive sense. And then what do we tend to do? Because we have expectations, then what do? We make judgment. And what are we doing when we're making judgment? We're kind of taking the position of God, isn't it? We're kind of taking that position because ultimately, who is the one who judges any of us? There's an ultimate judge. The interesting thing is that Krishna, the ultimate judge, the supreme person, he's not really into judging himself. In the Abrahamic traditions, there's a lot of emphasis on the idea of God as judge. But we have a different perspective on God. Judging is there, but Krishna is not so interested in that in particular. And so we may also be reminded of that as we sort of go about in our judging capacities. Then we may sometimes have to kind of stop ourselves. Wait, the soul is wonderful. I may not see how this soul is wonderful, but that doesn't mean the soul is not wonderful. And this also opens us more to our mission of preaching, which is approaching people and allowing ourselves to be surprised when someone responds in a positive way. It's actually amazing, Ascharyavat, that anyone would be in any way responding positively to anything that we say or do. Isn't it wonderful? A happy surprise. And therefore, we can be happily surprised when there's any positive response, and we don't have to be surprised at all when there's not a positive response. It's like, okay, this person's as to be expected. What to do? It's the age of Kali. We don't expect. But if someone is responding positively, oh, very nice. So in this way, we can keep ourselves open to the wonder which is the soul. Now there's another point here regarding this wonder, which Prabhupada is making clear in the purport, that Indra is feeling wonder because he doesn't see the cause for Vritra's devotional behavior. And Prabhupada is giving the contrast, the example of Prahlad. Prahlad, of course, he is acting as a great devotee. Why? Because, and Prabhupada makes the point, he was initiated by Narada, which is an interesting detail. But, of course, Narada is speaking to Prahlad in what condition? Prahlad was in the womb of his mother. He hadn't even come to see the light of day yet. But Narada is already initiating him. That's an interesting kind of a circumstance for initiation. Yeah. But Indra is surprised because he doesn't know the background of Vritra. Who is Vritra? Vritra is Chitraketu. And Chitraketu did meet Narada. Can we say he was initiated by him? That might be something to debate, but perhaps it's also not an essential point. He was blessed by Narada. And as a result of his blessing, he became a very wonderful devotee, who then, of course, Parvati was not so much appreciating because of his seeing the behavior of Shiva and Parvati and finding it very humorous. And Parvati didn't find Chitraketu's laughter humorous. She was not similarly amused as he was amused. So it gets back to the subject of causation, which is always a big subject in the Bhagavata. But here I think the bigger subject is simply surprise. And we might go back to Prabhupada's purport of the previous verse when he quotes this famous verse from second canto, Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pukasha Abira Shumba Yavana Kasadaya Ye Anye Chapapa Yat Apashraya Shraya Shudyanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha. So first is a list of various, we may say, castes, different tribes, different sorts of persons who are generally in traditional Indian Brahminical culture understood to be low class, Kirata, Huna, Andras, Pulandas, and so on. And the last part of the verse is saying that's okay, even someone may be of these categories, Shudyanti, they can be purified. So the idea is if they can be purified, anyone can be purified. How are they purified? By association with Vaishnavas, with devotees. So Indra is looking at Vritra and he's kind of scratching his head, saying, how is this possible? He's a demon, but he's actually a devotee. Oh, he must have associated with a devotee. But which devotee? And we know he's associated with Narada. That will be elaborated. Where is that elaborated? Later in this canto? I don't remember now. Yes. That will be explained. Okay, so what have we discussed? Surprise, judgment, prejudice. That word prejudice is related to judgment, pre-just judgment, actually. What was the cause of surprise? Expectation. And then considering that the soul is wonderful, and so be ready to be surprised. You might worry, well, if I'm ready to be surprised, then I won't be surprised when the surprise comes. So don't be too ready. Be ready to be surprised. That's sort of a contradiction. If I'm ready, then I'm not going to be surprised. Hare Krishna. So the verse again, O Vritrasura, demons are generally conducted by the mode of passion, therefore, what a great wonder it is that although you are a demon, you have adopted the mentality of a devotee. I like this Prabhupada's expression here. You have adopted the mentality of a devotee. Can we also adopt the mentality of devotees? And of course, this goes back to the point of association. We see, we hear, we observe how devotees are behaving, how they're speaking, and so we can then adopt that sort of behavior. We can consciously adopt. Even we may not be so like this other devotee, we can say, oh, let me adopt that. You know this word, adopt? What is the word in Slovenian? Oh. Say again? Prosy. Proseati. Preositi. Preositi. Yeah. Okay. All of the above. I know translation is always difficult. So, O Ritrasura, demons are generally conducted by the mode of passion. Therefore, what a great wonder it is that although you are a demon, you have adopted the mentality of a devotee and have fixed your mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, who is always situated in pure goodness. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Comments, questions, Adi Purush Prabhu.
A short comment on the
Hare Krishna. On the snakes with arms.
Okay.
Pterosauruses.
Oh.
Yes. Oh. Flying dragons.
Pterosaurus, okay.
Yeah, so flying dragons.
So the so-called dinosaurs,
yes, yes,
are actually Ritrasuras.
I mean, some echo
could
from...
Be. Yeah. Yeah.
But I have a question about Indra. Thank you for the... for creating wonder and exploring wonder and discussing amazement and wonder. And one of the amazing things in the Bhagavatam is Indra's presentation. It's actually not so easy to find a positive picture of Indra in the Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
Although it's very easy to find many negative pictures of Indra in the Bhagavatam. Although in Rigveda, for example, he is the biggest hero.
He's the hero. Big hero. Yes. Yeah, we talked about that last time. Yeah.
So also in the Ljubljana Museum, you can see there are hundreds of stones marking the crossroads or some properties saying glory to Iom, Iovi Optimo Maximo, dedicated to Jupiter the Great and the Best, and Geni Loti, and the spirit of the location.
Uh-huh.
So he was worshipped a lot here, apparently.
Jupiter being Indra.
Zeus, yeah.
Zeus, the Indra, same. The storm god.
Yes, the storm god. Mm. So, would you like to say something, comment on this contrast between the Bhagavatam, why Bhagavatam takes such a stance, which is so persistently Indra, even though he's the god of the ruler of...
He gets a lot of bad press in the Bhagavatam. One thought and that I've always had is that the Bhagavatam, being the Bhagavatam, is glorifying the Vaishnavas and the Lord. And one, you can say, technique of doing this is by contrast. So Indra is, you can say, traditionally understood to be a great person. So the Bhagavatam, in a way, is belittling Indra as a way of glorifying the Vaishnavas. So if you're thinking Indra is so great, well, just look at how he looks in comparison to the Vaishnavas, to the Bhagavatas, those who worship Bhagavan. And so his stature is, in a sense, his stature, his position has not changed. He's still Indra. And he's still powerful. And he can still kill Vritra, and he can throw terrible storms at Vrindavan. So, and so many other things he's still doing. But when we see him in perspective of Krishna consciousness, of the Vaishnavas and so on, then You're looking at him from up here and looking down. And so the Bhagavata is, in effect, that's what it's doing. Looking from this perspective instead of from down here. But Indra is still wherever he is. I would put it that way. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So in other words, it helps if you see the context that Indra is extremely respected in that society.
Yeah.
So therefore, if we just read it without this understanding, we may have a rather wrong picture that
right.
Indra is some foolish kid who is always getting himself into trouble.
Yeah, and therefore looking kind of comic instead of he looks like sometimes like a bit of a clown, and but therefore it's good to know how he's appreciated in the Rig Veda, for example. Yeah. And again, as I think I was explaining before, the Bhagavatam, it's the ripened fruit of the tree of the Veda, and so it's one thing it's doing is giving kind of purport. Yes, you know, it's saying, yes, Indra kills Vritra, we know that's there in the Rig Veda. Yes, he's very glorious, but look how much more glorious, in fact, Vritra is, which is not brought out in the Rig Veda because all the Rig Vedic hymns are very busy trying to please Indra because they want to get, because it's Karmakanda, because they want to get benefits from Indra. That's why they're praising him. These hymns are very explicit. You know, please be pleased with us and give us good things. Give us wealth, give us power, give us all the nice things that make material life worthwhile. And all glories to you because you killed Vritra. And there's no need to say all glories to Vritra in the Rig Veda because he's not giving what Indra is giving. But it's good to know what's there in Rig Veda, at least have some idea, I think. Yeah.
In the 11th canto, we have a statement that the demigods, when not respected, create obstacles for transcendentalists. Mm-hmm. It does mention, of course, that the devotees of Krishna use these obstacles as stepping stones, as a ladder. There are a few verses like this. A ladder or stepping stones for advancement, these obstacles. But also, there is a valid doubt that arises and is raised sometimes. Why not actually worship them a little bit? To avoid whatever obstacles, and also so maybe we can please them to avoid obstacles they can send our way, or this is one thought that we can worship and respect them to avoid obstacles. I lost my second thought about it.
What comes to my mind is that the devotees are just too busy worshipping Krishna. They don't really have time to worship the demigods.
I remembered my
but
second
they
thought.
Respect the demigods, right? You know, we offer all respect to the demigods. And then we say, excuse me, but I have to do my service on the altar or whatever. Yeah.
And my second thought was, why would they create obstacles to... They are devotees, they are fellow devotees.
They should be elder, our well-wishers.
Yes, elder devotees, senior devotees in the universe. Why would they send obstacles our way?
Well, if you go to a martial arts course, then one of the tasks of the teacher will be to challenge you so that you become expert in your martial art practice. And sometimes they might be, as they see you advance, they may act in a quite harsh way to really give you the challenge that you need in order to advance. How's that? Yeah, Hare Krishna. So on that note, I'll say thank you all very much and wish you a wonderful day and wonderful week. And I'm going to slip back into the forest for a few more days to finish my book. And with the blessings of Srila Prabhupada and Panchatattva, I just may finish by the end of this month. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande.